This whole month we're talking about being faithful. And I tell you what, there's four of us that co-lead on our elder team, our pastor team, and we share the Sunday morning preaching. So each of us only gets about 1 out of 4 months. And usually our series is about a month long. So mine is 4 weeks. I'm in the second of 4 weeks here. So I value this time much more than I ever did. Every time I get to preach, teach, it's important to me. So I spend time, as I think we all, each of us in the elder team do, to make sure we're saying to God's people, to you, what God wants to be said. Not just wasting any time or to say something because it's a pet favorite topic of ours or whatever. But very clearly, the Lord had impressed upon me to talk about how to be faithful. Because it's one of those things, you know, like breathing, you know, it's one of those things like water, like food, like air, basic elements of life. But they're so important. And, you know, we'll need to breathe this afternoon, you'll need to breathe tomorrow. So it's the same thing with being faithful. That's at the core of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about how to be faithful unto death. We prayed for some of our brothers and sisters right now around the globe that are giving their lives because of their testimony of Jesus. And we prayed, took a few minutes to pray for them, and hopefully that will continue. And next week we're going to talk about how to be faithful to the world, to the nations, to this call to go out and bring the gospel to people, starting where we're at, but in countries all over this world. We're going to have a friend, Steve Dresselhaus. He and his wife, Lois, will be here to help us think about that. And then our last Sunday in this series, the 23rd, we're going to have our friends from the Edge Church. They can't meet at their usual high school location. They're going to hang out over here. It's going to be great. Don't miss it. We'll miss the gals here that are at the women's retreat. That's Sunday. But it's going to be a great time here. So that's our little roadmap for this faithful series. Today is probably the message that's at the very center of what it is to be faithful as far as it means anything for you or for me. We're going to look at what is it to be faithful as God is faithful. Last week was faithful unto death. We're calling this week's message faithful in life. Yes, if you get killed, not that that's easy. By God's grace, we'll all be faithful if that ever comes to that situation for each of us. But are we able not only to die for Jesus, but to live for Jesus? Which in some ways may be much more difficult because it's ongoing. We put up with stuff. But what is it to be faithful? Literally, it's to be full of faith. God himself is described as faithful. And again, looking at the person of God, his nature, his character, that's the starting place for us to learn what it is to be faithful, and especially looking at the person of Jesus Christ, the full revelation of God in person here on planet Earth. But a few things about being faithful as far as us. You know, being faithful is listed as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 5, there's a list of the sins of the flesh, the bad stuff that happens naturally because we live in a fallen, that means a sinful world where things are messed up, the sickness, the disease, the death, wars, all of that stuff happens because of the fall of man. Ever since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we're still living it in today. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by choice, you, me, everybody. But how does faithfulness impact us as followers of Jesus here? And by having this listed, not only having it listed in this list of spiritual fruit, we don't have time to turn there, but if you're writing notes, Galatians 5, it's one of the things that God himself produces in our lives. And the longer we mature and grow in the Lord, the more we should become faithful. So it's not a static thing, oh yeah, I'm faithful, I'm good, you know, what's next? No, every day you need to, and I need to learn to be faithful to a greater degree. Okay, so know that. And here's our prayer here. Here we go, I think we've got it for the screen. I want us to say this together. You guys ready? Say it like you mean it, here we go. Lord, please help me to be faithful to you and to others. Let's say it again. Lord, please help me to be faithful to you and to others. Pretty simple, huh? But pretty deep. And that's what's really needed. If we're faithful to God, we can learn what that is, to have him as our top priority, then everything else falls into place. And not just a list of hierarchical things to have as most important and then least important. Let me talk about that here in a minute here. What is it to be faithful? Just in a very general but very real sense, it's to be dependable, reliable, trustworthy, to have consistency. And here is the whole idea of repetition here, okay? Because this has to be done over time and in relationship. Let me explain that again. God is faithful, but there was no revelation of God being faithful when God was, before He created everything. Because to be faithful, that's in relationship with someone else. He is faithful to us, and we are recipients of His faithfulness, and we can respond back to Him because He is faithful. But faithfulness is shown in relationship here, and it's shown by repeatedly doing good things, being awesome, I like to say, over time. So you can't be awesome by doing something only once, or you can be awesome, I guess, but you can't be faithful by doing something only once. You might be awesome, but you're not faithful. Maybe even two times? Nope, not yet. Three, depending on what it is, maybe. But repeatedly, over time, you can be faithful. And it has to be, it's all about relationship, and it starts with the small things. Sometimes it ends with the seemingly small things. And I would agree with Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She's quoted here, and I think that's our next slide, that God has not called us to be successful, because that's how the world defines success. But this is how God defines it here. But to be faithful, that's the Mother Teresa, but I added obedient. That's success in God's eyes, to be faithful and to be obedient. No one else might ever know, except for God, that you are being faithful and obedient. You are in relationship with Him. Some of the little old ladies who swept the church floors. Some of the Sunday school teachers that led a Billy Sunday or Billy Graham or whatever. Somebody who's reached thousands and millions. What about that person that led them to the Lord and you don't know their name? But being faithful in small things is super, super important. Because guess what? To God, they're not small. To God, the things to our world that's small, like I say, some rock musician, you know, who's on the top of the charts, you know, and on TV and all over the internet everywhere, the world might think that they are successful. But a Dave and Deb Byron going to play at a nursing home, I get choked up here because I've seen it. I've seen those guys out there playing for a group of seniors that's nodded off. And some that haven't. But they have that heart to go because you love them and you want to share your life with them. Whoa! That's being faithful in the small things. And I hope and pray that you are, whatever your calling, whatever your setting, your context that God has put you in, that you are faithful in those small things that no one will ever see in this life. Someone will see them eventually. Jesus said what's been whispered in the ear, shout from the rooftops. He says that there's a day coming when He's going to boast and brag on His kids. And you know, real quickly, Jesus told the story, the parable about the bags of gold, the talents we call it. And you know, he gave different amounts, different bags of money to different people. And he said, I'm going on a trip, I'm coming back. And the first guy, he got 10 bags of gold in this guy and, you know, invested it well, and he made 5 more. And guess what the master said to him right there? Master replied, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, faithful in the small. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what I live for. I hope that's what you're living for. And I believe that's what's going to happen. For those that have been faithful by God's grace, that when we pass through this life into the next step of eternity, to hear those words from our Master, that what little things He's given us, that we haven't just blown it off or griped because we didn't have what He has or she has, but we've been faithful in that. Even if that what we have is full of heartache and pain, but we've done the best we can. To be faithful with that, we have opportunity to hear these words. When nobody else has seen it, He's going to say it. and everybody's going to know. And that's really, really cool. So that's what we live for. We're called by Scripture to be faithful to God. Absolutely. But then how do we do that? You know, we are faithful to God most often in how we are faithful to people. Maybe your spouse, your kids, your parents, faithful to ministry, faithful to others with what God has called you to. And again, I mentioned before, you know, you can think of this as a list. That God is definitely most important. He should be. You know, then your spouse if you're married, then your kids after that, I believe, then ministry stuff. And you could make a list, but that might be helpful. But I think what's even better is if you can think of it as circles. You know, maybe the circle of your marriage and the circle of you and your kids or you and your parents or you and ministry or church work or whatever it is. You've got all of these circles that some of them intersect and overlap each other. At the center of each of those circles should be Jesus. Jesus at the center. So it's not only, oh, God's more important, but God really doesn't have anything to do with how I treat my kids. Or God really doesn't have anything to do with how I act at work. No, that's not it. It's not you can check God off the list as number one. No, He should be at the center of every part of your life. And that's how we can learn to be faithful. Jesus in the center. Think of it that way. Next time, you know, you're thinking about anything, think of, is Jesus really at the center of this? He is anyway, whether you know it or not. And we'll give, you know, we'll have to be called into account for every unfaithful word that we've spoken, every word, whether good or bad, you know, and I'm thankful for the word Jesus is Lord, you know, and Lord, forgive me. But man, God is faithful. So how can we learn to be faithful in all these different circles and relationships? A few very basic, almost duh things, but they're worth repeating because we don't always do this. But this is at the core of what it is. First thing that we do to be faithful is just show up. Just show up. You've got to be there. You've got to be there, be present, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your time with your kids. Just being there is where it all starts. It's not going to happen if you're not there. And you might even be there physically, but if you're not there with your thoughts and your attention to somebody, and again, you're not hearing this from somebody that's perfect. I need to learn a lot about that, and I learn a lot about this from some of you who are very faithful in these different areas. But just showing up. Most of the things that, by the grace of God, I've been able to have a part of in the community is just by showing up. You know, I'm not a business leader or anything, but a couple years ago, the Lord clearly prompted me in my thought, hey, go to the Aurora Business United meeting at the Roundhouse. Really? Well, okay, sure. And so you just show up there once a month. And guess what? After a while, again, that repetition thing, people get to know you. And I get to interact with people who are like, we're in totally different worlds. But because you show up there, those circles are intersecting. And as Jesus is in the middle of my circle, guess what? This person gets to bump into Jesus a little bit. And that's just really cool when that happens. But whatever it is, just show up and be present there mentally, emotionally. Give somebody all of yourself when you're there. So show up, be true to your word. Don't lie about stuff or don't. You may not even think, oh, I'm gonna BS this guy, I'm gonna lie about it. No, but sometimes you say something and then after you said it, you know you're not gonna follow through in it. Be a person of your word. Be faithful. And again, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Everything more is from the enemy. So, you know, a lot of people like to talk, blah, blah, blah. Hey, the fewer words, the probably the better. But if you say something, you know, if you say, yeah, I'll meet you there, meet them there. That's part of being faithful. Again, very basic, but some people don't do this. Be there on time. Be there on time. And different ones of us, I know you're thinking about certain people in your brain here. Alrighty. You're looking around the room. Some of us, it's something I usually don't struggle with, but I know it's something that other people do. So I don't say that judgmentally or anything else, but it's something that I've had to work on in my own life. Be there on time. We'll talk in a second about honoring people. That's one of the ways you honor people. And you say, hey, you are important when you keep your word and when you show up on time. When you be there and you're there on time. And hey, here's just another little tidbit. If you're not going to be there on time and you're like, oh man, I'm going to be late, legally and safely let them know. Send them a quick text, or, you know, pull over if you have to in your car, or use your hands-free device if you're calling and you're driving, or whatever it is. Let them know. That's just called common courtesy. It's part of faithfulness. Let them know that you haven't forgot about them or blown them off. Be there on time. And here's a really important one. Be willing to forgive others when they blow it. I'm going to let you down sooner or later. You're going to let me down maybe. I need to forgive you. You need to forgive me. And we need to be able to ask forgiveness. Forgiveness, like I say, in that little saying I like to have, you know, the kingdom of God's based on relationships built on love and forgiveness. Till we see Jesus, we're going to need to forgive one another. We are. So let's just get used to it now. Be full of grace. Not making excuses for people, but just knowing legitimately we're going to need to forgive one another. Again, being faithful to people honors them. And this is like super, we're just placing value on somebody when we honor them. When we say that you are important, you're important enough that I'm going to be faithful to you. And I get that from you guys all the time. I really do. And it was interesting. We were praying out here in the hallway and with some of the folks before we started here. And two of you guys, those of us in the hallway know who you are. We're talking about this topic of faithfulness and feeling that I blow it way too much in that area. Or that they were saying this about themselves. And another one of them chimed in, me too. Getting choked up thinking of it. You guys are our faithful brothers. Not perfect? No way. But you are faithful, faithful brothers. And I'll tell you right now, that is, for me, there's a lot of things I can say about people. But if I ever say to you or about you that you're a faithful brother or a faithful sister, that's the top compliment I can give you. Because everything else is included in that. Your love for God, your just how you live life. If you are faithful, if I ever call you a faithful brother or sister, know that that, for me, is an important thing to say to you. But, man, to honor people, you know, is to be faithful to them. And that's how we build up the body of Christ, is by honoring one another, by being faithful. And that says, man, you are worth something. And part of that, like I say, is just showing up. No condemnation to anybody who's not presently today in one of these seats. But someday you might just be thinking, ah, should I go to church on Sunday morning or not? Oh, I got this I could do later. I got to go to the store. I got to do this. Well, you know, no. Well, part of just showing up says that, hey, this thing is important. And being faithful in that way builds up, very literally, builds up the body of Christ. Not just numbers and seats, but builds us up as far as encouragement. I love coming here on Sunday mornings because I get to see you. I meet with God, but I meet with you. And when I hear these stories, yeah, my life was terrible last week and it still is pretty bad, but I'm trusting God. Guess what? I say, whoa, cool. Yeah, me too. Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep going. Let's keep serving Jesus. So I need you. It's important to me for you to be faithful. I just happen to be a guy who gets to, you know, put food on the table at our house by working here at the church. These other guys sacrifice big time. And all of us really sacrifice to do this. But we do it because to see God at work in your life is worth it. Totally, totally worth it. So it's honoring the people when we are faithful to them. Let me just, I got to do this when I'm talking about honoring people and faithfulness. We get to be where we're at and continue to grow in being faithful by the people that God has put around us. And I just want to, you guys know, if you know me, you know these guys already. There's three people here. Probably if I had to name one guy who's influenced me more towards Jesus because he is faithful, it's Glenn Kaiser. I just looked on the internet, I pulled this. It's one of the more recent pictures of Glenn. He's changed a lot over the years, as we all have. But talk about a faithful brother, you know. And he's standing on, you can't see it right here, he's standing on the L tracks on the north side of Chicago in the Uptown neighborhood. This was actually a photo shoot for his latest album project called Cardboard Box. And you know why it's called that? It's an album all about the homeless and about how even the body of Christ cares very little for the homeless, you know, in our fallenness. But Glenn, this getting choked up again, he's a guy who has not just said, yeah, hey, I'll pray for you. He's come out from Chicago and spent the day with me many, many times. He's a guy who, when I was struggling with a number of stuff, He's a guy who spoke into my life in a very challenging way, continues to. But a deep, deep relationship. He's one of the guys that we call on at Warehouse Church. If we need wisdom and help and accountability above ourselves, he's one of the guys on that list. So, but beyond that, next, if you live in Aurora, you know this guy, Dan Haas. What a faithful brother. He's the most awesome guy. He's just so cool because he loves Jesus and he is faithful. To drive in my car out to the site of a shooting 15 years ago in the middle of January where it's 4 below and the sleet is just hitting your face when you get out of the car, and to see a couple of guys standing around in a street corner around a wooden cross getting ready to pray for a family, pray for a neighborhood. Guess who one of them was? Right there, Dan. And again, he's had input into Warehouse Church over the years, but I have learned how to follow Jesus through Glenn, through Dan. And I had to throw this other one in. I got two of the next one. Anybody know who this is? Anybody know who that is? Take a guess. Look at the context. That's Tony Danhelka in 1977. When I was a 17-year-old kid, there's Tony. Guess what? He's a theological a graduate, and he comes and knocks on the door of... He's like, where are there people in need? Where are there youth in need? And he knocked on the door of Wayside Cross, and they said, yeah, go to Jericho Circle. Go, or it was Westwood back then. Go to Eastwood. Go to these communities. So guess what? Tony did. And along with Paul Jonaber, some of us know Paul, who's with the Lord now, and Champ Bodwell, ended up founding Riverwoods, an awesome camp. And for a few years, they gave these kids a free Christ-centered camp experience. Then they ended up putting missionaries in the neighborhoods, and now it's called Riverwoods. And we have one of their vans sitting in our parking lot. You know, you can do the next slide there. And there's Tony about a year ago at our 25th anniversary, right up here on the stage, praying for us and encouraging us. And I can't tell you how much this guy has been faithful to me. At great cost and sacrifice to himself to speak into my life and really to speak into the life of Warehouse Church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So do you have someone like any one of these? It could be a guy or a gal. Do you have somebody who's mature in the Lord who will be willing to sacrifice and speak into your life? You need that. And some of them may be and probably are in the local church. And if you don't have somebody like that and you have nowhere to go, pray, and then you can talk to any one of us on the elder team. Call a church office. We'll try to connect you with somebody. And it's probably, whether it's in the church here or somebody I might even not call Warehouse home, but they love God. Maybe they live right down the block from you or something. I don't know. But here's the deal. You have to seek this out. I have the relationship I have with each of these guys that I've just mentioned because I showed up. By the grace of God, not because I'm that smart, but I was that desperate. That I sought these guys and gals out. I'd sacrificed my time to be able to be with them. And then the relationship is reciprocal. So seek them out, choose to spend time with them, and here we go. Listen and then follow their advice. Follow their lifestyle, their example. Just like the Apostle Paul said, follow me like I follow Christ. He's not going to be perfect, but he's going to be a pretty good example. Okay? And look at their life, but follow their counsel and their advice. And if you do that, God will cover you. He really will. Even if they happen to tell you something, which may not be the way, God will take care of you, absolutely. So listen and follow their counsel. Real quick, I just need to highlight this and hopefully give you a kick in the pants to where you can go home and whip out your Bible this week and look at this. The book of Lamentations. The very title means lament. And that wasn't the original title. You know what the original title in the Hebrew is? It was how. How did this happen? It's the blues to the max. It's the most desperate of any country music song you can think of, except serious. We see laments all over the book of Psalms, the book of Job. It's like just being honest with how it is in a fallen world. And Lamentations is mind-blowing because what it is, and most scholars would agree that it's the prophet Jeremiah who wrote this for many reasons we don't have time to get into. But what it was is him pouring out his heart, just describing the devastation all around him at the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians when they surrounded it and put up barriers and nobody was getting out. And so guess what happened? People started fighting. People started killing one another. Moms ate babies. It got that desperate. It's the Word of God. So I say this just to say, man, it's the same fallen world we live in today. Life is not good for many, many, many people. In many parts of the world, it's torn apart by war, and it's very similar to what Jeremiah talks about in Lamentations. It's bad news. But it was real bad for Jeremiah because he was remembering the promises of God, and he remembered not only the good promises of God, but the warnings of God. God saying, hey, if you follow me, if you love me, you obey me, you'll be blessed to 1,000 generations. But if you disobey, I'll send that discipline that we've heard talked about this morning. And it's painful. And it's generational. It's all kinds of stuff. And you read the book of Lamentations. So that's your homework for this week. Read Lamentations. Front to back, it's bad news. It's bad news. Serious, serious stuff. But one of the big buts there. But right at the end, there's a glimmer of hope. And here right in this section, and what for us is Lamentations 3, is this cool, cool part. It's mind-blowing. Jeremiah is just talking about all of this devastation. And he's talking in the first person that this is what God has done to me. And he was probably more righteous than more of the other dudes. But he was associating himself with that judgment that was falling on God's people. Guess who also did that? Fully. Jesus. Sinless, perfect. Jesus associated with my sin, with yours on the cross. And it's cool, a lot of stuff you read, and when you're reading Lamentations, you're like, gosh, have I heard that somewhere else? And it's Jesus on the cross. And it's some of the same situations that he suffered, not because of his sin, but for my sin and your sin. All right, I better wrap this up here. Lamentations. After all of this bad stuff, he says, verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. We're not just totally devoured. His, God's compassions never fail. And you know what the big word in this passage is? In Hebrew, chesed. That's the same word where we get chesed house. Loving kindness. Tender mercies. God, even in the midst of fulfilling His promise of judgment on His people, He is full of chesed. And a big part of chesed is that it's not earned or deserved in the least. You know, it's kind of in Aurora, that's the two different things. Yeah, you go to Wayside, you got to follow all the rules, do this and that or the other. Chesed is much different, and I'm thankful so much for both of them. But God's loving kindness that I don't deserve and you definitely don't deserve either helps us to learn how to be faithful in a fallen world where things are just messed up hugely. By His loving kindness, the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. That's the only way we're not burning in the lake of fire right now is by God's chesed, His love for us. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What's he saying? Every day is a new opportunity. How cool is that? Even as mothers are eating their young, here's Jeremiah saying, hey, all is not lost because God is faithful. He is faithful. And so there is hope in the midst of devastation. Your mercies. And the Hebrew word mercy, I learned this, that it's the same word that they use for a mother's womb. About birth, about compassion, about care, and about a new beginning through something being birthed. That's mercy in Hebrew. Those two words are from the same root. That is pretty awesome. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So some of you guys might be saying, yeah, my world is pretty much falling down around me. There may not be enemies with ramps on the wall around my house, but there's cancer, there's sickness, there's disease, there's I lost my job, everything bad you can list. Well, God knows that. His mercies are new every morning. He is faithful. Wrapping up with this. There was a guy who wasn't much. He was real weak and it wasn't easy for him to hold down a job. For his longest held job, he was an insurance agent. This was earlier in the 1900s. But he liked to write words, poetry and stuff. And his name was Thomas Chisholm. And Tom wrote a bunch of stuff. He was on a missions trip. He was strong enough to do that. And he was corresponding with his friend William Runyon, who was an unknown guy, but he was a musician. So after Thomas sent this poem to William, I don't even know what instrument he did it on, probably piano, I would guess, but he put a melody to these words, and eventually a Moody Bible Institute professor ran across that and fell in love with it. And people started singing it in the Moody Bible Institute chapel services. And here it is. It's "Great is Your Faithfulness." Great is Your Faithfulness, great is Your Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I've updated this from the these and thous. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. Great is Your Faithfulness, O Lord, to me. That's the chorus. Let me read the verse, next verse. Great is Your Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with You. You change not. Your compassions, the hesed, they fail not. They're new every morning. As You've been, You will forever be. God in His nature does not change. You and I are pretty fickle. We're weak. He's not. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, stars in their courses above. Guess what, guys? Nature teaches us about the faithfulness of God, the changing of the seasons. I'm not looking forward to snow, but it tells me, hey, if this has been happening thousands of years, somebody's in charge who's pretty reliable, pretty faithful. Join with all nature and manifold, that's much, many. Join with all nature and manifold witness to Your great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Last verse, pardon for sin. You need that, I need that. Pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Your own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. That's pretty cool. Why don't we go ahead and stand, and what we're going to do, and then I'll pray. Put that chorus back up there if you could. Thanks, Sebring. Here we go. We're going to say this together, then we're going to pray that prayer together, then I'm going to pray. Here we go. Ready to go. Great is Your faithfulness. Great is Your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. Great is Your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. All right, now our prayer again. Here we go. You guys ready? Lord, please help me to be faithful to You and to others. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time in Your Word today, Lord. We just give these thoughts over to You, Lord. Help stuff that's of You and of Your Word find a place deep in us, Lord, that it would be a seed planted in us that would find good soil and produce fruit and a harvest, Lord, of righteousness. Not because we're good, but it's because of You, Lord. Teach us to be faithful this week, even this afternoon, maybe before we leave this building, Lord, give us a reminder of the opportunity to be faithful in whatever situation it is, Lord. And Lord, help us to do what we've said this morning. So thanks for that all, Lord. May You be with each of Your people here and those who call Warehouse home but aren't here today, Lord. May You show up in very significant, very real ways as the One who loves us and as King and Lord over the universe and eternity, Lord. Be You be glorified, Lord, because of Your faithfulness. So we give ourselves to You. We say thanks for it all. In Jesus' name we ask. And everyone said, amen.